metsa se tseke tsa la mo hle khanye la ba tlo so kwala ke go di tsapa Ms. Kanyele, you are before a subcommittee of the Portfolio Committee on Communications, so a committee that has been appointed in terms of the National Assembly rules, which allowed that the committee to create a subcommittee, so we are a subcommittee here. I will introduce the members with you. Thereafter, I will give you an opportunity to introduce yourself if we have gone through your CV and so on. You will then thereafter move straight to your 10-minute presentation on the topic you've taken, given the request that was sent to you by administration. Then members of the committee would then interact with you 5 minutes max for each member to ask questions, and that will also include your responses and therefore conclude the interview in that way. Without waste of time, on my left there, far left, not Tembi yet, far left, Honorable Mulala, Honorable Kubeka, and there's Honorable Machozi. We have Honorable Dr. Ndlozi. We also have Honorable Faku, that has gone to the restroom, but she's joining us. There she comes. That's Honorable Faku. Honorable Fandam would have been asked to go left earlier, who would have been here before. So in that score, that's the brief introduction. We'll now allow you an opportunity to briefly introduce yourself, as I said, and then move to the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Zanamu Shapungas Kanyile. I'm working for Department of Correctional Services full-time, originally from Kandla. Thank you, Chair.
So you can then get to the presentation.
On my presentation, I've got the vision of ICASA. It's inclusive of digital society. And my next slide, it's a mission of ICASA to ensure that all South Africans have an access to a wide range of high quality communication service at affordable prices. The values of ICASA. All ICASA regulatory activities are centered on five core values, which are innovation, collaboration, accountability, result-driven, and stakeholder-centric. The mandate of ICASA, the Council of Independent Authority of South Africa, is governed by ICASA Act of 13 of 2000 as amended, the Broadcasting Act 4 of 1999, the Electronic Communication of Act 36 of 2005 as amended, the Postal Service Act 124 of 1998, the PFMA 1 of 1999, and the PAJA Act. Of 2000. Now I'm going straight to the question. There are four questions. I've chosen the second question.
Can you,
yes.
May I ask if you are struggling, if you can give the hard copy, because we have hard copy, so that you can talk to the presentation.
What's
I'm saying, can we assist you with your hard copy? So that you can still talk to the presentation.
The question, my question for presentation is to provide a brief analysis of where South Africa in relation to converged regulations versus single sector regulations. The single sector means the structure limited to telecommunication. Sole function is to oversee telecommunication sector. The single sector specific telecoms regulator as the basic reference point of alternative institutional design of telecom regulation. It's presented by Rasha Moriro and Markames in 2003. The telecom sector consisted, technically speaking, single sector is also a typical feature of regulatory arrangement in other utilities sector and infrastructure in South Africa. Its versus converged regulator tend to have an oversight for information and communication technologies, including broadcasting. Another example about the multi-sector regulator, it lacks the required in-depth expertise of the specific technical aspect in different utilities that they regulate. The second one is about the dimensions of regulatory effectiveness. To be effective in South Africa, a regulatory body needs to be institutional independent. Government needs to provide sufficient funding for the regulatory body in such a way that the regulatory body can deliver its mission. Stability for the regulatory body is important, but an annually budgetary bidding process is likely to exist in practice. Government needs to agree on the division of responsibility between the regulatory body and other regulatory or government agencies. Government needs to set out its policy as regards the degree to which the regulatory body should publish the results of its work or generally be open. Progress in diversifying South Africa's economy base has been limited and uneven, indicated a need for regulatory changes that will encourage more dynamic private sector development, perform its regulatory function in a timely, cost-effective manner, as well as in a manner that ensures that the confidence of operating organizations, the general public and the government, and strives continuous improvement to its performance given the necessary authorities and the resources. The third one, regulatory institutional structures. Once the mandate has been clarified from existing laws and rules or regulation, it is necessary to consider if governance and institutional structures in place are aligned and sufficient, flexible to allow the constitution to adapt to meet the future requirement and rapidly changing environment. Consideration include the following. The governance and institutional structure established must facilitate delivery and effective mechanism must be put in place to ensure accountability and sanction for non-delivery in line with the Public Finance Management Act. Public entities should be established, structured, and managed in order to fulfill the objective set and to ensure value for public money. Accounting officers and accounting bodies should be held accountable and, if relevant, sanctioned with the PFMA. Any public resources in brackets, including, for example, public funding, preferential access to other resources such as spectrum or other advantages, must be focused on delivering the public base. In brackets, for example, meeting the defined goals and a funding mechanism putting in place to facilitate this. Parliament's oversight must be strengthened by putting in place a formal framework and mechanism, including clear performance objectives indicators which will enable it to assess whether or not the department or institution is fulfilling its goal and having the intended impact institutional framework. The last one is self-regulation versus co-regulation. The Electronic Communication Act currently provides for the co-regulation of a code of conduct for broadcasters in bracket section 54 and the self-regulation of advertising content by Advertising Standard Authority. Several submissions suggested that there should be an increased co-regulations and or self-regulations. The importance of reinforcing the principles of self and co-regulation in policy, stating that it had played a significant role in addressing the consumer's complaints. If the state and the private regulators cooperate in joint institution, this is called a co-regulation. If the type of a self-regulation is structured by the state is not involved appropriate in terms of regulated self-regulation as reference. The clear framework for the accreditation of self-regulatory and or co-regulatory mechanism is needed. In my conclusion, to top it all, if I'm appointed to ICASA Council, I'll be committed to fairness, freedom of expression, openness, accountabilities, and pledges to represent a broad cross-section of the population of the Republic of South Africa, and also adhere to the population of the Republic of South Africa, and also adhere to the Code of Ethical Conduct and Disclosure of Interest for Council, which I believe is critical for all councillors. Thank you.
Thanks for the presentation. I will now allow honourable members to engage the presentation. I will start with Dr. Angelos.
Creative. Now, you've never, from your CV, had anything to do with either broadcasting or ICT. Am I correct? Or postal services?
Yes.
So, what do we do? Why should we put you in there? Highest regulator board where you have never had interest.
I think in my CV, if you can take a look again, you will see that I've been appointed. I've got about three ministerial appointments. Mm-hmm. I was serving at Dipong as a council member, and now I'm serving at CETKZN College as a council member. I'm also serving in the subcommittees, and I've been serving as an audit committee member in the variety of the municipalities in KZN, more than 10 municipalities, and most of the municipalities where I'm sitting is either unqualified or clean audit.
No, you're not. You are robbing me.
No, I'm not.
It's very late at night. But you've never had interest in ICT, broadcasting, or postal services. Why must we put you? Because you had a clean audit in a municipality.
This one is about the oversight role. If you look at my CV, there are very rare chances where you find myself promoted, but I've been into boards, committees, councillors.
No, I'm talking about board. Even a person at a church doesn't accept Jesus Christ today and then tomorrow is a bishop. ICASA is like the regulator of an industry. You ought to have had some interaction with the industry. You know, all your years, your very colorful ministerial appointments, you have not been interacting with the sector.
I'm
saying the difficulty that you must address is, help us. How do we recommend a person who is or has first application before they are in grade one is to be in matric? We are setting you up for failure. So why? Why must we put you? You have never had an interest, nothing.
I think it's my 8th year applying for this position. I was lucky this time. Since you managed to shortlist me, I think you will manage to work with me.
Okay, there at the I'm very sorry. We have an inside joke with
okay,
my colleague.
You're okay.
So you work for the Heritage, National Heritage Council.
I was playing an oversight role, I was not working.
You were a board member.
A panel of experts.
What does that mean?
In the museum, you write an article, you advise about the policy, you support the CEO, and attend all the functions.
So, when you were asked for board membership, you put National Heritage Council.
Yes, it's a panel of experts.
Were you a board
advising
member? You were not
no,
a board
I was not a council member. I was a council member at Depo.
All right. No, that's fine.
No, I'm looking at my CV so that I will assist you with my duties.
No, I'm done, ma'am. I'm done with
you. Oh, all right. Thank you.
Honorable Majesty.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm now skeptical of going through with the question because I'm just wondering if, but it's fine. Let me just continue. Can you tell me what is the triple C and what is the role of the triple C?
The Triple C is a complaint and compliance committee. It is established in terms of ICASA Act as amended. It is compulsory to have one council member to sit in the complaint and compliance committee. The role is to make sure that they are attending to the complaints of the consumer or consumers or the public, and when they're attending to the complaints, it's very important to make sure that they are listening to both sides and make sure that they are taking a firm decision.
In your understanding of the spectrum regulation and its impact to ICASA delivering on policy objectives, please explain to me what is your understanding on the spectrum regulation and the impact to ICASA delivering a policy objective.
Thank you so much for the question. What I understand, first of all, when you talk about the ICASA Council, it's the highest board authority about the spectrum policies, make sure that we are minimizing the cost and we are making sure that the consumers are benefiting to make sure that whatever the services that they are getting at the lowest price. And the policy is it's a secondary mandate. It is very important to make sure that there is a compliance in whatever when we are applying the policies of the spectrum.
Thank you, Chair. Nguye ngibonye ke ukuthi sikhanyile. But ke mangithi maybe the thing is that on the side, as you can see, other honorables, when they are supposed to ask questions, it becomes a little bit difficult, as Honorable Ndozi was raising the issue of the industry and the relevancy. But mina, I'm saying, I think where Sis Kanyile was relevant, indeed it was straight under local government. If it was supposed to be there, I think, as you have already tried to explain, even to say those municipalities, maybe that you are a councillor, where you are championing the issue of the audit, I think they are much more safer than having these reports that we are having of most of the municipalities are under the disclaimers, the adverse, the unqualified. So I think it was supposed to be those questions, Chair. But as we are saying here, it's an issue of asking those ones who are relevant to the issue of the industry. I'll just pause just to hand over to Ndatemlala, maybe to continue with other questions. Thank you, Chair.
It's just a comment.
Okay.
Honorable Fagu.
Okay, let me continue, Chair. Maybe can you explain to us what are the objectives of the larger integrated ICT white paper?
The objective of the national ICT white paper is to make sure that in whatever we are doing at ICASA, we must make sure that we are complying with whatever that we are doing. In white paper, it also mentions in one of the sections, because I've went through on it, that when we are serving as a council member, it's very important to understand that there is an Electronic Communication Act number 36 of 2005, which is very important to make sure that you are read the white paper in conjunction with that act. So on the white paper, it is developed to make sure that the organization is running smoothly, the council, I mean the ICASA council. And another thing that is important about the white paper is to make sure that there is a compliance, and to make sure that the way we are treating the cases or the disputes that are lodged by the consumers, we are making sure that we are in line with the white paper.
Okay. There is legislation. There are three phases of legislation. You have mentioned the Electronic Communications Act 2005, if I can correct you. What is phase one and what is phase three? There are three phases. There's phase one, there's phase two, and phase three. You mentioned one.
The phase of the act.
Yes. This legislation that is emanating from the National Integrated White Paper.
Yes.
So there are three phases. You've
mentioned the Electronic Communications Act, which is the other one. The first one is the ICASA Act. Mm. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mlar.
Hello, Ms. Kanyile. Oh, sorry, man. I disturbed Honorable Rose. He doesn't like music. Thanks. I only have one question for you. What is your understanding of Section 192 of the Constitution as it relates to ICASA and its independence? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. In terms of the Section 192, it falls under ICASA Act from the Constitution. It stipulates that when we are I'm trying to get myself, you see, the comments, so I'm not organized the way the panel. Sorry. Yeah, they are even singing, you see. So.
I get to jump, Kahili, just to make you at ease.
Is the section, yes, in the Constitution. On Section 192, it's when under the, because when we are talking about the ICASA Act, there is a section on 192. It talks about the council, which is acted as an accounting authority, and it also relates to the if I can take it in relation with the King Code 4, the principles of governance, they are very important when we relate about the section. And it also mentioned about the regulatory role, about the licensing of the electronic communication and the broadcasting services.
Thank you, sir.
May I just check if my notes are correct? You said you are full-time correctional counselor?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Just to check whether you are aware that the counselors of ICASA need to be full-time in terms of availability. And what does that mean in terms of the full-time job in correctional services?
I don't have any problem. If it happens to appoint me, I will resign from correctional services.
I will now give you an opportunity to say your closing points to the panel. Sorry.
If I may ask, what are your current responsibilities of correctional services? I'm working as a section officer.
Did you enjoy this?
I would like to take this opportunity to thank the same panel for shortlisting me. The opportunity is much appreciated. And also, just to thank you. I'm interested in working here. No one was born as a ICASA council member. And I know that if you are appointed, you undergo training, because this is an oversight role, it needs to apply wisdom. And if I can pose a question, I'm wondered now why they are asking me that I'm not qualifying, whereas you were shortlisting, you've got some requirements that you were looking for.
No, I would not probably give it to the specific person who asked the question. I think it should be understood that the questions are also asked on the basis of your CV, which you've forwarded. At the time of looking at the shortlisting, there will be all aspects that get looked at, but it doesn't prevent the panel members from ascertaining facts that are before them. Like you are correctly saying, ICASA also plays an oversight role in the industry, but it also regulates the industry. So it's also to check whether, whilst you may have done some work elsewhere, let's say for example you talk auditing, ICASA is also faced with the same. I'm sure if you had an opportunity of looking at documents, you would see that there are also other issues that arise. So the shortlisting will not be the main issue. The issue is you need to establish facts, especially what people come from in their service. Also, why are you interested? I think it can be an issue of doubting why you were shortlisted. And that's why I continue to the interview.
Chairperson, thank you. Since you are not the one with respect, since you are not the one who are posing the question, can you give the opportunity for those who are posing the question?
No, I don't think it helps unless members want to do that. Part of my role as the chair is also to ascertain that I was following the discussions, and instead of making it a dialogue between you and the members, is that to explain the perspective, so that you also feel at ease that we took your interview serious. That's why we continue with asking the questions. As I said, unless members wanted to respond in their own courses,
yes, Chair, but not to respond on what you are saying now. I saw that Ms. Kanyile took an offense maybe when Honorable Mulalo was singing, and maybe she thought that he were mocking her or something. It was not something like that, my sister. There are many candidates who've been here with different types of surnames, and others we couldn't even pronounce well, so we'd have to make something. So it's not because of he was mocking you on anything. It's just to make you feel at ease that you are with human beings, even if we are interviewing you, but you are with human beings. We are not here to bite, but we are here to listen to you. So we want to make you feel comfortable by all means, and not that maybe we were doing something negative. No, I don't want you to take it in a bad way. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, but I ended up losing information.
Honorable Mulalo may want to come in and apologize on that. But I think that the real point, which is what I tried to explain to you at that point so that you're able to continue, was that it was about also making you to be at ease. It was a relationship of the surname Kanyile to that of Jabu Kanyile. So instead of asking you whether you have got any relations with the late Jabu Kanyile, then he introduced it with a song to make you feel at ease. That it's not a grilling session as such, but we are engaging, like we said in the opening, so that you are also feeling engaging with the panel, right? So if that, I think as Honorable Machos would have done, if that would have been quite offensive on the side, I think accept our apology. as she said, with other candidates, there would have been specific questions, especially if your surname is linked to somebody's name, whether you are a child of so-and-so or a brother of so-and-so, to establish integrity of process. So in that score, please accept our definition.
Maybe to add,
I raise my hand. Maybe you should not respond to this. Let us respond. I think it's important here that Ms. Kayile understand that part of us is to assist in terms of icebreakers. So to try and relax if a person is panicking, I think that is what Mulalo was trying to do, not in any other bad way. Secondly, on the issue that Honorable Andrews has asked about, do you meet the minimum, the requirements? He did not mean it in a bad way, but he was saying that your field of study is different to what you have applied for. Why do you have interest? That is how I understood him from my side, because you might have studied law or whatever, but now you have interest in ICT. He does not know you to be shortlisted, hence you were shortlisted. He was just asking a general question to say, you've studied this, what is your interest now in this? And I think you have explained that very well. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Ms. Kanyila. But for other administrative matters, the communication will be done by the support staff that was also communicating with you. Once again, thanks for making time. We know we also had to make other arrangements. That's why we are seeing you at this time. And we thank you also for that understanding. With that, that comes to take us to the closure of the session.